Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of Glory Mountain, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network on this day that our Father has made. Let's go before Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be alive and worship You, breath in our bodies, and give You all that You've given us, our lives. We lay them down at Your feet, Father, and we worship You in spirit and in truth. We worship You for who You are. You are everything to us. So therefore, we lean not to our own understanding of how things are looking or how they are going, but we acknowledge You this morning in all of our ways, in every one of our ways, that You will direct our path, our words, our thoughts. May our thoughts and meditations be acceptable in Your sight, Father. Therefore, we meditate on Your words, and we lay aside every sin, every weight that doth so easily beset us, we put it to the side, that we might draw closer unto you, and that we might do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Do justice, do righteousness unto you, Father. Cleanse us of our iniquities, our transgressions, and all of our sins, and renew a right spirit within us, and continuously restore the joy of salvation. Continuously restore the hope and the glory. Refresh us this day of refreshing. Refresh our bodies, our minds, our spirits unto you, that we might be renewed daily, as you said in your word. We know many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you constantly, always deliver us from them all. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful to us. And for this we praise you. For this we thank you. We're even grateful for every trial, every tribulation. But we know you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, I take control of every negative, foul spirit that comes to separate my brothers and sisters from your love and your goodness. Every spirit of oppression and depression and negativity, giving up, idolatry, covetousness, adultery, fornication, everything that they're struggling with, we come against it. Sorcery, spirits of sorcery, pharmakia, we come against it. And we pray that your will is done on earth as it is in heaven, and you give us the courage and the ability to accept your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. For this and all things, we come to you, Father, and we pray and we thank you in the name of our brother, Yeshua HaMashiach. Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Well, once again, brothers and sisters, I welcome you to the Glory Mountain broadcast brought to you every Saturday here on Blog Talk Radio, where you have a bevy of programs. Characters and thoughts and prognosticators and intellectuals. A lot of people have a lot to say. I have to confess that I listen to a lot, but I don't follow a lot of programs because if you are not close to the Father, close to his word, it's easy to be led astray. But he did say that my sheep know my voice. The stranger they will not follow. And you have to learn in this day to rightly divide the word of truth. To rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide it. There's people that have a lot to say about a lot of people and a lot of different programs that they hear and the way a lot of people are stocking up and stacking up. The way people are putting other people down. And there's some people that don't believe that we need to flee different areas, and that we need to. Some people don't know when things are literal in the word. There's just so much. But if you have a relationship with our Father, and if you are reading the word and you are praying, he will guide you and direct you as to what you are supposed to do. Too many of us always look to man. Look to a leader to help us understand our problems because we don't have any trust and faith in the voice of our Father, of our God, to lead us and guide us. And the reason we don't trust it is because we don't know it. We don't have a relationship with him. We haven't been properly introduced to him. This is something that I've been very emphatic about when it comes to Glory Mountain, and even when we had our worship services, that I wanted people to have a proper introduction of who the Father is and a relationship with him, not contingent upon your religiosity, your routine, your programs, or your auxiliary service. No, no, no. I needed you to put me out of a job. Because my goal was to raise everyone up to understand that every man is a leader and pastor of his home, and that we are all ministers, and that the veil of the temple has been ripped, and that there is no preferential treatment in our Father, and that we are equal and we all have equal access, equal approach. And we must learn how to communicate, agree together, and go into the Word together and exhort and encourage one another. Some of us have different gifts, different offices of our gifts. Some are more pastorally, where they are more caring and providing for the sheep. Some have the ability and the gift to instruct, which is to teach. Some have the boldness to proclaim and preach, as Peter did when he came from out of the upper room, which was a drastic change from the person he was when he walked with our brother Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And after his indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit, he began to proclaim that this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. There are those that have that gift to preach in the streets and to proclaim. And then there are those with the gifts of administration and those that are sent. It goes on and on. But we are all stones fitly framed together, as spoken in the book of Ephesians, that we might provide a habitation. All stones fitly framed together. And that's why we must learn to get along. But we can't get along when I hear shows of people looking for scriptures to justify themselves, or to justify their stance, because something in them is telling them that where they stand is not correct. And you become a Berean for the purposes of justification. We are justified in Christ and no other way, because too many people are twisting scriptures to make it fit their situation. And what we have is eisegesis, where you're reading into the text what is not there, because you don't understand how to interpret scripture. You don't understand. You've heard line upon line, precept upon precept, but you don't understand how that works. A little bit here, a little bit there. What you do is you twist a little bit here and you twist a little bit there with the scriptures to make it fit your unrighteous circumstance. I had one person. I heard one sister on here said that men were punks and cowards, and she used the story of Deborah and said Barack was a punk and coward for asking Deborah to go with him, and began to read all kinds of stuff. I was a little taken back that some other people were hearing that and would actually believe the things that she was saying. Eisegesis, E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. It's when you don't properly interpret the scripture and you read into the text of what is not there. Eisegesis is to properly pull out the text as it reads and let scripture interpret scripture, which most people don't do. Scripture interprets scripture. And when you put line upon line and precept, you actually go to other scriptures that correlate with what you're saying and that defend, back up, and affirm the scripture. Because our Father does not contradict himself. And you'll see that what he said in the Old Testament, he said in the New Testament. And that the Old Testament is a shadow of things in the New Testament. And that if you don't understand the old, you won't understand the new. And you'll hear him speak of horns, which represented countries and nations, and you'll hear him talk about nations, and today we don't even call them nations, we call them races. We separate it, and we get into delineating who's black, who's white, and et cetera, et cetera. And even with that story, somebody's saying that Deborah was over all of Israel, God raised her up. God raised up everything and everybody. He's in control of everything. Deborah had a husband, had a covering. I can't even say his name right now. And we don't even know what matters she judged. She judged small affairs, and it was for a season, but she was not the head of the army, the military might. She did not go down as the other judges and fight and conquer. There was Barak, who was over the armies and led the troops into battle and summoned them. He was their leader. He disobeyed God and would not go. And this is why Deborah, who was a prophetess, which in the Hebrew means Nibiah, and if you see, really look at it, it says a poetess and the wife of a prophet, which is why after Barak won the battle, she began to sing a prophetic song that came to her directly from the Father, and that the Father would speak through her to give confirmation and instruction. And here we had a brother by the name of Barak who disobeyed the father when the father told him to go down into warfare. And which is why she said, did not the Lord say? Meaning, didn't he already tell you and you want to be disobedient? And he still wants to disobey and say, I won't go unless you go with me because I know he speaks through you. And if you come, then I'll know that he's with us. It's pretty much what he was saying. And since he was not willing to be obedient, he was not going to get the credit he deserved for that war. Instead, a woman, he slayed the entire army, and the man, the leader, was running from him. But it was a woman that killed him. So I just wanted to, like, bring that out real quick and talk about that. Because I don't really want to comment on these other people's shows, but sometimes some of this stuff needs to be rebuked because it's, people are out of place. And certain people know that they're doing things they're not supposed to be doing, and they are trying to justify themselves because they're out of order. And there are spirits at work, spirits of feminism trying to destroy our families and our homes, spirits of Jezebel are operating in our sisters, and the men are not standing up, taking their rightful place as they're supposed to, and even when they want to, they can't because they had to go through such a fight with these spirits. And we've got so many people that are listening to so many shows that the enemy is trying to cause distraction and confusion. You have other nations that are having radio shows out there right now that are similar to Hebrew Israelite shows, Christian shows that are confirming that they are people. They're trying to break down the Edomites and Esau. So they're taking all of the rhetoric and trying to bring confusion into the camp. So here's all I want to say, because I'm not going to add to it. I'm going to go back to what I said when the show first came on. I implore you, encourage you, exhort you to become a Berean. Trust your relationship with the Father and have a knowledge of the scriptures and get into your word. I guarantee you 110% that the Holy Spirit will begin to open up the word to you and give you a better understanding, and you will begin to turn off some of the garbage that you're hearing out there, because you can't allow so many people to speak into your spirit and lead you so many different directions. Here at Glory Mountain, I don't want to give you my interpretation, my eisegesis. We just want to talk about the word, and I want to encourage you to continue to be resilient and to be fortified and know who you are in our Father, and that he's called you, and that there's a day of reckoning that is coming. So therefore, we don't have to walk around angry or feeling oppressed. Our forefathers disobeyed, got us into the curses that we're under now. But we as a people will be justified in that day of reckoning. But in the meantime and in between time, we must occupy until our Father comes and serve him. Abide by these commandments. Love our fellow man. And do the greater works that he said we would do that come only through knowing him and knowing his voice. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Who are those strangers? Those strangers are the people that he talks about. That our brother talks about when they go stand before our Father and say, didn't I do great works in your name and cast out devils? And he'll say, depart from me. I never even knew you. Those are the strangers that we're not impressed with. It's one thing to have a testimony, and then it's another thing to try to impress me, because I'm not impressed by signs. Because the Bible tells us that signs are for unbelievers. I am already a believer, so I don't need a sign. But we are such a hard-headed, stiff-necked people that we run after a sign. We run to and fro. The Father's looking for rooted people that are consistent and are planted like trees by living water, that know that they have life if they remain where they are. a sign is for someone who's never believed. But when you believe, you can give glory to the Father for a miracle, an undeniable miracle, but you did not need that miracle to tell you that he exists, that he's real, and that he's able. There's nothing he's not capable of doing. This is why I have a lot of problems with people telling you that you need to do so much to be prepared. And they'll use stories that have to do with a people that were walking into the curses. You have to understand that there were people that were not properly prepared because they were doomed to walk into the curse anyway. But the people that were being brought out of curses and bondage and captivity that were being delivered are provided for. So I encourage you to not pick up this Bible once a week, but to pick up this Bible every day. And if you want to listen to these broadcasts, you go ahead and exercise your spiritual senses and see if you know what does not coincide with the Word of God. I don't encourage you because I know everyone's not there. We got babes in Christ that are out there, and you can't listen to all this garbage, these garbage preachers that have the wrong intentions. I'm going to go to the Word, but I just feel like talking to you before I go to the Word. See, you have to understand this. I wanted to go to Psalms 82, but I feel like going over here to someone who's still alone. I want to go to the book of Revelation. I want to talk about John real quick. I want you to see something with our brother John. A lot of people don't talk about John, but he wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelations. If I were you, I'd study his ministry and his life and the things that he did. All of the martyrs that he inspired, martyrs that took their lives, the Bishop of France, Bishop Irenaeus, and different people like that. I spoke to some of these people in some of my earlier shows, and how he was able to write this dynamic book of Revelations that we're just now beginning to understand. But what most people don't take a look at is that he wrote this book while he was in full-time ministry. No, not the full-time ministry that you lust after, where you quit your job and have people pay you and you become a hireling, and then you hire a bunch of other hirelings, you know, church musician, your assistant, and y'all take the people's money and offer and say, you know, I'm the one that has to interpret scripture for you, now pay me for it. No. Full-time ministry was what John was involved in on the Isle of Patmos. They dropped him off because he was a threat to society, and instead of killing him, like all the other disciples, they dropped him off on an abandoned, deserted island, which was for criminals and killers and thieves. They wanted him out of society. I'm sure they left him with some rations, different things like that, or else he had to live off the land. And John, the first chapter, the ninth verse says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, the Most High, and for the testimony of Jesus the Christ. And then he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is the Sabbath. Sunday is not the Lord's day. Our day of worship was changed by the Antichrist, by Constantine, back somewhere around 70, 80, 90 AD. And I'm preparing, which is why I'm just kind of talking today, because I'm preparing to do a series starting next Saturday on Maccabees to the New Testament. Because I need to debunk this myth that's been in the Christian church for years that after the Old Testament, there was 400 years of silence before Christ showed up. That is a lie. One of the biggest lies in the church, and especially the black church. Many pastors and preachers would tell this lie that there was 400 years of silence because the heavens were closed up. God didn't speak. What kind of madness is that? Please join me next week, and probably for 4 weeks straight, we're going to do a study on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Maccabees, and you'll see where there was the Maccabean revolt. You'll see where that they were fighting against a people that were oppressing them and trying to steal their religion, forbid them to worship on the Sabbath, and tried to get them to break the laws of our Father and to eat different types of foods that were sacrificed unto idols and other gods. And you need to understand that. And it's always been for them to try and change the actual day of worship, which is the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, the day of rest. But anyway, you have John saying, I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. But what I want you to see is that he had no one else with him. It was the church of I, John. And he knew how to get into the Spirit for himself. Thus, you have one of the greatest books of the Bible. I'd like to say it's one of the greatest books of the Bible, where he has a revelation of heaven, and he gets to see our brother and our Messiah and the Father and the things that are to come. And it was through this revelation and this relationship, this personal relationship of being able to be isolated into worshiping and being in the Spirit and being alone with the Father, that he had the greatest time ever. I'm sure it was wonderful for him to be the brother of James and be one of the sons of thunder and desire to walk with him, you know, and just see the great miracles. What a great honor to be able to walk with Christ. But for him to have been relegated to this island and to be alone, and to be in the Spirit and have this great revelation at the church of I, John, where he could do nothing else but seek the Father. Look what it brought him. Some years later, when the kingdom had changed, they came and got John off the Isle of Patmos. They didn't figure him, the new ruler didn't figure him to be a threat any longer. And it's when he was brought back that he began to write the first and second and third chapter of John. And all of those books have to do with love. Can you imagine? All he had for people was love in his heart when he got back around civilization and around people after having been alone for so long. Such gratefulness, such a spirit of gratitude was upon him. My point is, I'm trying to encourage you to learn to have a relationship with the Father and to learn what it is to be alone with him. And he ministered to Ephesus, but to be on an island alone for 10 years. 10 years alone. But not alone, along with our Father. You know, I remember that even the prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Zadok forbid a lot of priests from being in the inner court, because he understood that a lot of the priests still had idolatry in their hearts and they didn't even realize it. Have you checked your heart today for idolatry to see if you're still coveting after the things of this world? Are there things that you still worship and seek after? You can't draw close to our Father and be close to him with this heart of idolatry where you worship other idols. That is a part of our Ten Commandments, our
shall have no other gods before me. Zadok couldn't let any of those priests into the inner court because they had idolatry in their hearts. So many people you know that say they have a relationship with a father, and they don't know him. They worship him for things. They worship him for prestige. They serve him for prestige. They serve him for the way that they look in front of the people. They serve him because of what it will do for them and their image. And there's an image that they're trying to attain. You can see it from afar, far away when you see these so-called pastors that have a certain walk and talk, and they emulate each other, and they call each other doc. Foolishness. Or do you have a heart of humility where you're humble and you can just be alone with our Father? You can do the things. You can have the ministry that nobody else will see. Will you be consistent? Are you taking care of the meek, the poor, the widows? Those are some of the greatest things you're ever going to do for the kingdom of heaven. Most people will never see. The only one that we'll see is our Father, and that's the only one that matters. Let's go to Psalms 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. This is what he wants you to do. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. There's your ministry right there. If you want to do something great for the Father. If you want to do something great for the Father. If you want to do something great for the Father, it's not about you standing up in the $1,000 offering line at your wicked church, full of paganism, worshiping Easter and Christmas, and worshiping other gods, worshiping false gods. That, and I want y'all to know that is very serious. Coming up on Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about the wickedness of Thanksgiving, which is nothing but a national day of mourning for the 59 million Indians, the tribe of Gad, that were slayed by Columbus, who read the book of Esdras and found out that the world wasn't flat, and they knew that there were people that were occupying this land. They knew that some of the lost tribes had been scattered to the four corners of the earth. We were occupying the land, and they knew that. They came over here to destroy us. We don't celebrate these pagan holidays. I know a lot of our feasts and our celebrations have been taken away from us, and we don't know when to celebrate, but everything you do, whenever you have a feast with your loved ones, your family, let it be a celebration unto the Father for understanding that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which was death, for breaking the laws, because we do break the laws, but the sentence was death, and that's what he's redeemed us from, was that curse of the law. But had it not been for the law, we would not know what sin is. So therefore, people still don't know when they're sinning. People still don't understand when the Father healed people and said, go and sin no more. You got people telling you, yeah, that means don't go have no drinks and then step out the club. It's foolishness. So I'm advising you, imploring you, encouraging you to do a word study and to stay in your word. Stay in your word before the Father. You know, there's a last week I talked about some of the books, and I encourage you to read these books. It's better than you reading some of these other books by I don't want to talk about anybody. The Book of Jubilees tells us how Noah prayed for demons to be bound up, and there were major principalities that had been bound up, and they're bound up to this day. And had it not been for that prayer, because there's only a tenth of the demons were allowed to still roam around. And those, all those demons that Noah hadn't prayed, they would still be bound up. I need you to understand that your prayer makes a difference. Your prayers make a difference. Your keeping the commandments difference. And your having a disciplined life makes a difference. There is so much going on in the title of the show, what's going on, is that there's so many people proclaiming that they're teaching and preaching truth. And this is all about truth, and I'm all about the truth. Come about the truth. Is anybody about the Father and what the Word says? Because people used to go to the synagogues just to hear them read the law, and there was no interpretation needed. There's no eisegesis. Give me your opinion. Didn't need no theologians. Didn't need no cemetery school. And it seems like we're coming back into this time where all these false Christs, all these camps, churches, say, I got the truth. No, I got the truth. I got the truth. There's only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And many people don't have a relationship with him because they won't obey his commandments and do exactly as he says. Can you adhere to the words of Christ and live your life the way Christ lives his life? Do you have enough discipline to obey and understand what the words of Christ are asking you to do? He didn't say he came to abolish the commandments. He said, I come to fulfill the law. And he said, not one jot or tittle of this will pass away until the heavens and earth pass away. Last time I looked up, as he's told me to do, heavens and earth have not passed away. Are you complicit with the word of the Most High? What's going on? People are pumping fear into the people. I've heard so many Bible prophecies that the world was supposed to have came to an end. Something cataclysmic was supposed to happen 2 weeks ago, and then the prophet came back on and said, God said that he's going to hold off. What the hell is that? Everybody's saying, I've got the truth, I've got the truth, I've got the truth. You don't have the truth unless you have the spirit of truth. And you know what I always say here, that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. So if you hear somebody pronouncing that I'm just trying to bring you the truth, what you need to say is that we're seeking and we're searching truth and we're growing closer to truth and we desire the knowledge of truth. Let us examine the scriptures together. I don't have to fight you, you fight me, or I pronounce that. No, I've got the truth. I'm turning these crazy radio stations off because every time I turn it on, somebody talking about what they've done, what they used to do. And we started this, and we was the first to do this, and then it's clear to me, you're about yourself. You don't even have a desire to make yourself of no reputation and have a ministry like John the Baptist. That could just herald the coming of Christ, which is the seat that we sit in. Marvin Gaye, you heard me play the song. It's because even with all his struggles and everything he was going through, when he wrote that album, he was talking about chemtrails, poisoning of the water, and everything that's going on in our society. When he wrote that song, Mercy, Mercy Me, and he said, don't talk about our Father. For Yahuwah is my friend. The Most High God is my friend. And he made this world, and he gave us everything. And since then, Satan and man's been trying to destroy it, rape and pillage this country, this land, of its resources and its minerals. We preach here and we tell you all the time that at the Social Change Action Network, that everything you need to heal yourself, to maintain a healthy lifestyle, comes out of the ground, but they've poisoned the ground with genetically modified organisms. They've spliced genes, different genomes into the vegetation. So you have to fight to be healthy and to find organic food. But everything you need, the herbs, are there for your healing. There is an herb called the balm of Gilead, astragalus, bladderwrack, all these different herbs can deal with all the problems you have, but instead you want to run, flock to the pharmacist and get a pill, and you don't know what they're giving you, and they're giving you sorcery and witchcraft. Your father's giving you everything you need to survive, but you've been destroyed. Your mentality, your spirit, your soul. You flock like sheep to the masses. You don't use your own mind. You're not even an individual. You want to do what everybody else does, which is why you let all these different people speak these lies to you. This is V the Preacher. You're listening to the Glory Mountain broadcast, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. And I'm just talking out of the Word this Sabbath day and trying to encourage your hearts and just being a voice in the wilderness crying out. I'm preparing to do a series next week on the Book of Maccabees that will debunk the myth that the heavens were silent for 400 years before the New Testament was written. We're going to talk about the Maccabean Revolt, a book that's forbidden in Jamaica. They're not allowed to read it. And also just kind of talking to the people today about so many people saying they have the truth. Lucifer, Satan, spoke truth to Eve and to Christ. So, listen. We have disinformation specialists out here. You got people. Listen to this. This is a warning. Because there's some people that have camps all over the United States. There's people that have reserves. There's people that have bought land. There's people that are looking like cults that have people moving into the wilderness and the country with them. And they don't even realize that Satan, through the government, has sent infiltrators to be in their camps to take notes on them. And if they're not abiding by my Father's will, when it's time, they will be shut down. Nobody's going to get the credit for salvation and redemption but my Father when it comes time to salvation and redemption. It won't be because you did all these things to protect yourself and preserve yourself. My Father's not sharing the credit with any of you. Many of you, your so-called camps, have already been infiltrated by government spies, IRS, FDA, and these people don't even realize it, that they're sitting in the midst of them, and they're talking about, we got the truth. Block Talk Radio, YouTube, we use it, we utilize it to get the gospel out, but don't think nobody else is watching and looking to see who the people are so that you can be marked and pegged. Because they want to know who is telling the truth and who's aware of the truth. They don't want you to ever know that those 12 tribes exist. They don't want those 12 tribes ever coming back together as a people because they don't want that nation that the Father said, ye are the only nation in whom I've loved that I've ever known. They don't want that nation rising up again. But they know, without a shadow of a doubt, that that nation's going to come together, rise up again, and that the Father's coming back, and Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, is coming back to avenge that nation of all the bloodshed that has taken place, that's been erased from your history books, taken out. Your kids don't even know the atrocities that was done to a nation, an indigenous people, the deaths, the murder, how they would lynch 12-year-olds, 16-year-olds, castigate them, burn them alive in front of thousands of people for their pleasure and enjoyment. You think you can satisfy people with a fake black president and welfare? I pray daily for us that we will draw close to the Father in these days and have a relationship with Him. I'm not here today to tell you a prophecy that this has happened with the government and the poison in the air and what's going on. Yeah, we want to know what's going on, but what's going on is Bible prophecy. It's all in the Word. And if you read the Word for yourself, you'll see that Satan's trying to take page out of the playbook. He has no choice. Because, let me come closer. Let me tell you something. Satan, Lucifer, the fallen one, knows who the Father is and what's going to happen. But guess what? All of his little demons and imps, he's got them fooled and tricked into believing that when that war happens, they're going to win. Satan knows how powerful the Father is. He's going to run and hide, but he's got all his minions duped into believing that they will be able to stand and fight. And so he's got many of us believing that the life we're living is okay and that we can justify our lifestyle of fornication, adultery, covetousness. In other words, he's getting you to break every one of the commandments, and all you do is stand and try and justify it. Deny yourself, love the Father, and know that you're going to be despised, talked about, and hated. But on the flip side of that coin, you'll be covered, protected, and you won't need for anything. The Father will see you through. A relationship with him like that, where you're hated and despised, also brings you power in the Holy Ghost. Power to cast out demons. Power to discipline your life and overcome the temptations of life and to walk in victory until he comes back for us. Do you know anybody that you can call on right now that can pray with you when you're going through, that has this relationship? Are all your friends doing the same thing that you're doing? Partying their problems away, medicating themselves, medicating their pain, lost and don't know what the hell is going on in the world. You don't have a clue. Sunday morning is not fixing it for you. As soon as you walk out, you're doing the same thing. You got the same problems because you're going to a church club to arouse your emotions and not your spirit, man, not even your intellect. Once again, I'm the preacher. This is Glory Mountain. We're here just sharing the word and talking of truth about who our Father is. I want you to be encouraged. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be distracted in this life. I want you to understand something, that he will lead you and guide you into all truth. All you got to do is ask for it and pray to the Father for his direction and love him and serve him with your whole heart, with everything in you. He'll fix your marriage. He can fix your income. Can fix your children. But brothers and sisters, you've got to serve the God of Abraham, Avram, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They weren't Christians that got up and went to church on Sunday, and they didn't drive around in a Bentley or Mercedes asking for you to sow seed into their ministry. They taught people and obeyed God. Taught people how to obey the Father's commandments. We as a people have a relationship with him because he created us and breathed into us and formed us from the dust, the dirt. Go outside today, I want you to look at the dirt. Tell me what color it is, by the way. And then he breathed into us the spirit of life, and we have a spirit. That's why we're such a gifted and anointed people, passionate people. But he wants you to repent, to come back to the commandments. Oh, but Christ said, I give you greater commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and love thy neighbors thyself. That's it. Yeah, because the first five commandments have to do with loving God. And the second set of five commandments have to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what it means. That's what he's expecting you to do. You can't be a lawless nation. You cannot be like Judges 21 and 25. The people that don't have a king will do what's right in their own eyes because they're lawless. People going around here talking about, I'm married to God, I'm married to Jesus, because they don't want nothing over them. Lawless, don't want a king over them, want to do whatever they want to do. Conform yourself to the image of our brother, Christ, and know who he is. Not that pagan deity that's being worshipped in these churches of an image. This is in the book of Maccabees. We're going to talk about it in the coming weeks. An image where they hired two homosexuals, Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, to change the images of our father and our patriarchs and to whitewash the images. They were hired to do so. And Caesar Borgia was the image that they depicted to be as Christ. And when the Spanish Inquisition came over here and the first slaves were the Cubans, they forced those people to worship that image and to bow down to their religion. Columbus, those people, yes, they did. But they have found artifacts that show that the early Indians here in North America spoke Hebrew. They found the artifacts. They spoke Hebrew. And they were the Most High as Ahaya. And Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya means I am that I am. It's Hebrew for that. For our father and our brother is Ahaya, Bahashem, Yeshaya. You look in Hosea, he says that my people will call me Ishi. And Ishi in Hebrew is Yeshaya. He says we will no longer call him Balaam, which is Lord, because everybody says, thank you, Lord. And we will no longer use these other names, Jesus Christ. He said they will no longer call me these names, but they will call me Ishi, which is Yeshaya. And then we used to tease the Indians for they used to say, hi, ya, ya, ya. Where do you think they got that from? It's Ahaya, which is God, which was Hebrew for I am. So these images, don't conform to that image, but conform to Christ and who he is. And he's directing you to the Father. Don't worship Christ. Do all things in the name of Christ. Strive to be like Christ. Honor Christ. Pray to the Father. For we were made in his image. Listen, I got to go with that. Running out of time here. I want you to know I love you. We're not actually running out of time. I'm just going to cut it a little bit short today. I want you to know I love you and that most of all the Father loves you and the Father's reaching out to you and you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Stay with. There's a plethora of information you're being bombarded with. And now not only that, you have to deal with radioactivity that's in the air. You have to deal with pollution. You have to deal with vaccinations. You have to deal with corruption. You have to deal with people. There's an infrastructure that's being set up all around you to prepare people for a new world order, but I could care less about that. I'm aware. I'm not ignorant to Satan's devices, as the Bible said. But I'm also making sure that when my Father returns, he'll find faith in the earth, that he'll find it with me. Will he be able to find it with you? Are you looking for him? Are you living like you're looking for him? Are you prepared? Are you complying with his word? Do you know his word? Do you know him? Do you love him? I'm not talking about because you went and got baptized. I'm not talking about because you marched down the aisle and sat on that pew. That didn't change you. What you need to do is repent and start living after these commandments. If we taught these commandments to our kids and taught our kids that they were the people of the Bible and that this Bible is their history book, we wouldn't have so many gangs and murder and them trying to live as the rappers tell them to live. And living in idolatry and covetousness, just wanting and wanting to get, and talking about get that money, get this, get that. People, let's come against this. Let's pray together as a nation. As my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will we hear from heaven, and he will heal our land. Let's come together. Let's pray. Let's pray. And as I say here on my way out, and I'm going to leave you with this song again, these two songs. The only sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. Don't let nobody tell you that they have the truth, that they're trying to get this truth out here. They're trying to get information to you. And then you can rightly divide. You can delineate. You can do your own research. And while you still have internet, you can do your own Google search. But know that truth is a journey, not a destination. So when you come to any conversation, when you hear any information, take up the anchor. Listen. Let your spirit decide and be able to tell you what is truth and what you should listen to and what you should not listen to. There's a scripture I want to give you before we go. Let's see if I can locate this. Give me one second, I'm searching something here I want to share with you. I hope you're encouraged. I hope I've said something that has encouraged you today. Oh,
Oh, Thank you.